Good morning, Calvary family and friends of Gaines Township, Michigan, and beyond. It truly is a joy to be able to be with you this way, though I would rather be with you in person. But I'm so thankful that we have the technology that we have to be able to sit down for most of you in the comfort of your home today with your family, with your Bible in hand, ready to learn more about God and what His plan is for our life. And that is where I want to go today. I want to go straight to the Word of God, and I want you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to be looking at verse 22 through verse number 32. Matthew 14, verse 22 through verse number 32. While you're getting your Bibles ready, let me share with you the account of this, where we have the Lord Jesus, who had just fed a great multitude of people with five loaves and two fishes. That in itself was a miracle. And then as the people departed, the Lord Jesus Christ instructed his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. Well, that is exactly what they did, and they encountered a storm. And it is that what I want to talk to you about here this morning, that God sees the storm from the other side. Now, when we think about storms, storms come in different forms. Snowstorms, ice storms, thunderstorms, hailstorms. And now today we face a health storm that none of us have ever faced before. But here's what I know about storms. Storms will pass, but it is getting through them that is the test. And so the main thought that I want to leave with you throughout this message is this, is that God is in the midst of our storm and will see us through it. We find again in this context of Scripture, as I noted with you in verse 22, that straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now we find in the account that the Lord Jesus, in another parallel gospel, had said that he wanted them to go over unto Bethsaida. And the reason I mention that is this, because God shows us that he knows and sees the big picture. Now we don't see the big picture. In anything that we encounter in our life, we never see the big picture. God sees the big picture, and we don't have that ability. And on this side of the storm, we have the promises of God. Some of these promises we know by heart. Some of these we have memorized. But we find out how much we really believe those promises of God once we get in the storm. And we find in this context that Jesus said to his disciples that I want you to get in the ship, go across the sea, go to the other side. Now, quite frankly, that's all they heard. They did not know what they were going to encounter. And yet, the Lord had promised them on the front end of that, he had said that they would get to the other side. And we find in verse number 23, the Bible says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. So we see that as Jesus is on the mountain praying, his disciples are now in the midst of the sea. They are encountering a huge storm. And we find then that they also see what appears to be like a spirit. They didn't know that this was Jesus at the time. And so here you have this huge storm that's causing fear. And then they see a spirit, and then they also cry out in fear. Now, let's not be too hard on these disciples, because I'm sure if we were in the same situation, we probably would be full of fear as well. You know, there is natural fear. For instance, if this building was on fire, I would do what I could do is to get out of the building, because I wouldn't want to just remain in here and say, I'm just going to trust God that I don't burn. No, there's a natural fear in us. If your house catches fire, you are immediately, you have this natural fear that says, I got to get my family out of this house. That's just a natural fear. But this fear here in this context we find is a fear that robbed the disciples of confidence. And there is a fear that we can encounter as well that can rob us of confidence. The Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In fact, God is not the author of fear. Satan is. And fear then is a liar. For instance, think about some of the lies that Satan tells us in times of our fear. He tells us that God has forsaken us. And yet the Bible says, I will never leave you. The fear says God doesn't care about you. But God's word says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Fear tells you the lie and says God doesn't love you. But God's word says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Fear has said that God has forgotten you. But God has said, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So here the psalmist David in Psalm 40 and verse 5, he's talking about God's thoughts toward us are so innumerable. He says, I can't even begin to count them. And that just shows you that God doesn't forget us. Fear says God has forgotten us in the storm. But God hasn't forgotten us. He is thinking upon us. He is thinking about us. And so we find in this context here that the disciples were full of fear. The storm is raging about them, and then they see what they say is a spirit, and they are crying out even more for fear. But we come now, and we see at verse number 27, the Bible says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now think about this. Jesus, in this context, is going to reveal to them that he is the master of the storm. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. And in the context, he tells his disciples, be of good cheer. It's me. I have this. Be not afraid. He did not want them to be full of fear. He wanted them to be full of confidence, because he was now with them in the storm. And may I say that not only in this present health storm that we're encountering, but in any storm of life that we face, we need to remember that God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6, I am the Lord, I change not. In Genesis 17:1, I am the Almighty God. In Exodus 20 and verse 2, I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 11 and verse 45, for I am holy. In Job 36, he says, behold, God is mighty. Behold, God is great. And in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And so Jesus comes on the scene, reveals himself to his disciples, and says to them, men, it's me. It's me. Do not be afraid. Be of good cheer. And this is what we need, again, to remember in our time in which we are living in, that this has not changed God. This hasn't just occurred to God. Nothing just occurs to God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Down through history, the world has encountered problems. Our countries have encountered problems, some huge problems, but it has not moved God off the throne and never will. God is still on the throne. You see, our trust is not in our government. Our trust is not in our fortune. Our trust is in the Lord. And Jesus is trying to direct the attention of his disciples. Men, look to me. Don't look at the storm that's raging about you. I have this. I am the Lord. I am the master of the storm. And he today is the master of your storm. We find then in verse number 28 that the Bible says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And so again, Peter is questioning, Lord, if this is really you, then let me come out here on the water. By the way, they had never ever seen anybody ever walk on the water. Four of these men were fishermen. They had never in their lifetime ever seen anybody walk on the water. But Jesus is walking on the water. And now Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, allow me to come on the water. And Jesus says to him, come. Just one word. He didn't give him a sermon, if you would. He didn't give him a long lesson upon how to do it. He just said, Peter, come. So the Bible then says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now stop and think about that. Peter is acting in faith only on one word, and that was the word come. And so he gets out of that ship and he begins to walk on the water to go to Jesus. He's not sinking. He's not, nothing's happening to him at this point other than he is walking toward Jesus. And again, all by faith. He just obeyed what the Lord had said, and by faith, again, he had never walked in water. He had been in the water many, many times. He had walked in the water, but he had never walked on the water. And so now as he walks on the water, he goes toward the Lord Jesus. And by the way, in storms of life, we too need to act in faith upon the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's Word changes not. And we can rest in the promises of God. And having faith in God, remember what Jesus said? He said, have faith in God. And so our faith grows in times of testings. Our faith grows in even in troublesome times that come our way and which we currently are in. Will we have faith in God or not? Will we trust him or not? And we find that Peter, in this passage, begins to walk toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins by faith to walk toward Jesus. But then notice, if you would, in verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And so he went from faith to fear. Why? Because he looked at the winds that were blowing hard against him. He took his eyes off the Lord, and he got his eyes on the circumstances around him, and he began to sink. Again, another great lesson there for us. And that is this, is that when we encounter storms of life, that we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. The psalmist says, my heart is fixed on thee, O God. My heart is fixed. And if Peter had just kept his eyes fixed on Christ, he would have been able to make it all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ as far as being able to walk on the water toward Jesus and get all the way walking toward him. But we find he began to look around. And in the day and time in which we are living in, people are turning to a lot of social media. People are turning to the television. People are turning in and getting their minds full of the news and so forth. And I would encourage you to just take time every day to be in the Word of God and anchor yourself in God's Word and trust Him and try to do less and less social media, because there's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of theories out there and so forth. So those kinds of things will rob you of having faith in God because you're worried about what's the next day going to bring. Well, the Bible teaches us that we are one to live with this thought in mind that, Lord willing, we will see tomorrow. Lord willing, we'll make it through this day. And so God has this under control, and we find in this context that Peter began to sink because he had taken his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the good part in verse number 30, that even when our faith is weak, like it was in the life of Peter, that the Lord is still there, and when he cried out and said, Lord, save me, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And so the Lord is there when our faith is weak. Our weak faith doesn't alter God, but yet we find that he wants to alter our faith. He wants us to have a strong faith in him. And sometimes that's not easy. I get that. But we find in the context that Peter here was saying that my faith is weak, and Lord, save me, and the Lord saved him. Now we find in verse number 32, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. In another parallel passage in the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus said to the storm, peace, be still. And the wind and the waves ceased. Because again, this is a good reminder for us to know that this current test in which this world is going through, which God is speaking to the world, that we need to be mindful of the fact that God knew and God knows all about this, and that we can turn to Him and we can put our faith and trust in Him, and that He is the master of the storm. Remember, I told you at the outset of this that Jesus had told his disciples before they ever got into the ship, before they ever began to sail across the sea, that he had said, men, go before me unto the other side. They made it. Yes, in the midst of it, they encountered a huge storm. But God had brought them right to where he told them that they were going to be to start with. And you see in this context that these disciples did make it to the other side. Now again, I mention that because God is in the midst of this storm, and God is in the midst of any other storm that you currently are encountering in your life. And God will see you through it. He will, if you would, bring you safely over onto the other side. What is he asking of us? He is asking of us to trust him, to have faith in him. There is a song that says, God sees the storm from the other side. Listen to the words of the song. When the storm raged about them, the disciples were afraid. For the waves were high and the ship was tossed. They could not find their way. Then they awoke the master, saying, Lord, please save us now. He rebuked the winds and the sea grew calm. And they all wondered how. because God sees the storm. From the other side, he knows the lessons learned, and just beyond the clouds, he sees clear skies. He speaks peace to the raging storm when peace cannot be found. He already sees the rainbow when we see only clouds. Yesterday, I had the opportunity, had to go to a store, and while I was there, I was talking with the cashier, and we got talking just ever so briefly about what was going on in our country. And she turned to me with a smile on her face, and she says, "You know, I'm not worried about this one bit, because God is on my side, and I am on God's side. And I have prayed for my protection for my family. I've prayed for protection for people. And I'm just not worried about this." And I walked away from that brief encounter with that lady and was so encouraged that here is someone I don't even know, but yet here is one who, by the way, is currently working two jobs and yet is just so calm in her demeanor, believing that God has this. That yes, this is a storm, but yet we will make it through. And when we encounter storms, God is going to see us through that storm. He's going to be with us right in the middle of that storm. And he will see us through it. The question is, will we trust him? Will we believe him enough to bring us through that storm? He has lessons that he wants us to learn during this time. I don't know what all of those lessons may be. God is working, and we must listen to him through this time. We must have faith in him daily, being in the Word of God. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, those of you that are listening to us here today, you're not certain that Jesus Christ is your Savior, then today believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. I am a sinner. I have sinned against God. And I realize that Jesus Christ went to the cross over 2,000 years ago and shed his blood and suffered and died for me. And as a 9-year-old boy, I put my faith and trust in him. And now at the age of 59, I know that if I drop dead today, that I would be in the presence of the Lord, not because I'm a Baptist pastor, not because I was raised in a good home, but because I have taken God at his word when he says this, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Would you trust him today? Would you put your personal faith and trust in him alone? Not in a church, not in some kind of a creed, not in your good works, but put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And here is what he promised, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not might be or hope to be, but shall be saved. And may I say that as we go through this health storm in our country, really around the world, that it is good for you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, to get anchored in him, to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. For those of you that do, I want to encourage you daily, be in the Word of God. Take time to be with him. Settle your heart every day with him, knowing that he has it all under control, and he sees the storm from the other side. We simply must trust him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. It is so alive. It is so powerful. It gives us understanding. It helps us in times like these. You do direct our path, and you do show us from this passage of Scripture that you do see the storm from the other side. Just as Jesus told his disciples to go to the other side, he already knew that they would make it. And he knew that they would encounter a storm. They just simply did not know that. And there are many, many times in our life from day to day, we do not know what troubles may come. We can experience many good months in life, and yet then a storm blows in. And then you show us how strong you are. And I would pray that we would trust you, that we would cling to you, and that we would pin all of our hope and faith and trust in you at this time. Father, would you, during this time that our country is facing this most difficult challenge, that you would give wisdom to our president and vice president, to those on the medical task force, to all the doctors and nurses, first responders, all people involved medically, that you would give them wisdom and understanding. And we would ask that you would slow or even stop the spread of this virus. And I would ask that you would today just keep our hearts calm, that we would keep our eyes fixed on you and love you with all of our heart and soul, strength, and mind. We thank you so much that when all we see is the storm clouds, you see the rainbow. And I thank you that you will see us through this storm. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.